The first thing that I heard about ploughshares really was being invited to take part in a ploughshares action, and I had a background in the women's peace movement to bring to that process, but otherwise had very limited involvement in direct action, really, of that kind of scale. So it was a very exciting possibility for me, and there were 10 of us that came together in this action, and I'll just take you through that process from my perspective as a support member of that group. So as I say, it's 10 of us. Two of those people had had involvement in ploughshares before, so they were able to bring some experience from other ploughshares actions. And we prepared together for about 11 months before that action took place. And there was a lot of practical support. We looked at the legal defences of actions that had happened previously. There's two actions that had happened in Britain before ours. We looked at what had happened there and tried to look at how we could learn from that experience. And one of the most important things for us that we wanted to address was how to bring the injustice of weapons into the court. And it seemed to us that constantly, when ploughshares actions happen, that activists are stopped from speaking, that the judge says it's irrelevant or it's political, and gagged, and I think this happens a lot in the US, that activists are gagged from speaking. So we really wanted to try and find a way of bringing the whole story, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, into the court. And what we came, one of the things that we came up with was to produce a video that would be left at the site of the action when the women hammered the hawk. And onto that video we put the most amazing footage that had been taken by a journalist in East Timor who filmed one of the massacres, risked his life in the process, and it was, you know, it was a graphic illustration of what was going on in East Timor only a couple of years previously. And we put in amongst that the four women giving an account of why they were going to be doing this action, what their intentions were, and explaining exactly what they were going to do, that they were going to be non-violent about it, and, you know, that the action was an expression of non-violence and an attempt to try and prevent genocide from happening in East Timor at the hands of the Indonesian military, and that the British government was complicit in that by selling these hawk warplanes. And along with that, well, as part of that, it was effectively as though the women maybe would be seen as confessing to a crime. So we hoped that the prosecution would be seduced by what they would see as a confession and be encouraged to not block that evidence from being used in the court. And it worked. They left one copy on the pilot seat and gave copies to the arresting officers when they were being interviewed. And that story was brought into the courtroom and supplemented by the women's testimonies and the most amazing witnesses who came to back up what they had been saying. One of whom was, perhaps the one that made the most impression on me, was Josie Ramos-Horta, who was the United Nations representative of East Timor. And the palpable tension that he brought into the court when he was giving his witness testimony was absolutely stunning. It felt as though the whole of East Timor was in the courtroom with us. It was just amazing. He was actually prevented from speaking properly by the judge. And in a way that added more drama to what he was saying, because it meant that each woman that questioned him had to think very carefully about her questions and put as much into the questions as they could so that he could respond to it in a clear way. And so every time he answered yes or no, which was all he was allowed to say, there was this incredible weight of East Timor behind everything that he said. And the trial went on for 6 days. Over this period, the community of Liverpool were drawn into the whole process, supporting outside the court, bringing whatever they could bring themselves to sort of join in the whole witness of the action, and culminating in the acquittal of the four women, which was a fantastic celebration. And I think I can say that it's the only time in my life when I felt like there was history changing under my feet as I, you know, sat in the courtroom listening to these words being repeated over and over again, as the foreman in the jury had to repeat 7 times, I think it was, because there's four counts of criminal damage against the women. No, sorry, 4 counts of conspiracy to cause criminal damage and 3 counts of actual criminal damage. And we had to sit there and listen to all of these counts being read out, and the tension rising in the court as each one was read out was fantastic. By the end of it, the whole court was erupting in celebration, and the judge made a very rapid exit from all of that. José Ramos Horta immediately phoned his relatives in East Timor and was able to tell us that there was a celebration happening in East Timor at the same time as we were celebrating in Liverpool, and that was a fantastic feeling of being united with what was happening there. Over the last few weeks, since that action happened, I've been involved with a different campaign and been trying to be very focused about that. And in the last few weeks since East Timor has exploded into conflict again, I've been pulled back into, you know, trying to stay awake really to what's happening in East Timor, and feeling a bit powerless to know what to do about it. Referring back to what was an incredible act of resistance from the four women that did the hammering. And really that what comes out of that is we called the action Seed of Hope, and I don't think when we called it that we really realised how significant Seed of Hope was going to be as a name and how appropriate it was, because it's brought hope to so many people, it's brought hope to activists all over Britain and people of Liverpool who were brought into it, and at this time when East Timor is suffering again, and hopefully for the last time for the last 24 years, it's something to hold on to really through that time. I said that I came to Ploughshares very sort of inexperienced really, and it was a real learning process for me as a support member to kind of go through this whole process. Joe and Lotta had never, I think they'd been arrested before, but they'd never been charged. So they were completely new to the whole process of, you know, confronting the legal system and taking this incredibly high risk action. And it was incredible to go through that process with them, of them learning to, or trying to overcome their fear, and then realising that that kind of fear can't be overcome. It's only something that maybe can be reconciled with, or that you can, as I think there's a title of a book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and that sort of feels very applicable to that process. And the other thing that really helped me to understand what Ploughshares was about is a gathering that happens every year, bringing together Ploughshares activists from all over Europe, on this occasion also from America, to share, really, share their experiences and have really excellent workshops. And that for me was a kind of a big help to my understanding of the other half of what Player Shares means. Can't begin to convey in short amount of time that I've got what Player Shares means, like it's a sort of ongoing learning experience. But if you're interested in learning some of that yourself, we are still having these hope and resistance gatherings, and I've got some information about that here, and you're very welcome to join us. The next resistance gathering will be in May of next year. Not sure where it's going to be yet, and we're looking for a venue, so if anybody knows of any suitable venue for about 50 activists for 5 days, please let me know. What can I say? Well, there's workshops, basically. People run workshops. It's a very good structure that's very accessible to new people, even though many of the activists that come to it are quite experienced. We've got a really good structure that helps to bring new people in, make them feel at home, make them feel that process is accessible to them, that they can participate in it and not sort of feel like new girls and boys kind of thing. It's also a retreat for activists so that we can have a bit of time away from always being busy and always doing actions and have a bit more informal discussion. And then at the end we have this fantastic cabaret which we do ourselves, and it's always good for laugh, and people just bring in whatever acts they can to it. So it's a really good mixture of cerebral activity and lots of fun and chance for people to meet each other, meet new people. So I'll just pass those around and touch on if you're interested. Thank you.